Now, we bring to these microphones Professor Hillel Weiss. He is the spokesperson for the newly reformed Sanhedrin. And we want to talk with him briefly about several subjects. One of them, of course, highlighted in the Jerusalem Post this week, the fact that several of the men who are members of the family of the Kohanim, the priestly family, being fitted for their garments so that they can be prepared to serve in a coming temple. Recently, we were in Israel. John Ankerberg and myself did a series of television programs, and Professor Weiss was so kind to allow us to come into the meeting room where the Sanhedrin gathers, and he spent just a long period of time so relaxed, so comfortable, giving us some very important information that you'll be seeing across the nation on the John Ankerberg television programs upcoming really soon. You can go to our website and check out the schedule for those upcoming programs. Professor Weiss has just returned from a trip into Montreal, Canada. We're going to try to be as brief as possible so that he can get some sleep. But Professor Weiss, thank you for joining with us. First of all, for those who may be listening to this broadcast, could you just explain who the Sanhedrin is and what are their responsibilities today?
The Sanhedrin is a huge group of rabbis and Orthodox scholars that was nominated by some of the chief rabbis of Jerusalem, of the Haredic group, and the head of the Sanhedrin, the president, is Rabbi Rav Adin Steinsaltz, and some other great rabbis. And because there is no a center of judgment and of law and of Torah, there are many groups in the Jewish world that annihilated or deleted each other. Therefore, there is no main judgment like the Supreme High Court of the Jews. This is the meaning of the Sanhedrin. Now we are in a very bad times, and the Supreme High Court fights against Judaism for a very long time, and we see it every day. Therefore, it was a must to establish a Jewish court with sovereignty upon the entire Jewish people.
As I understand it, the Israeli government, or at least the court system, has to some extent started recognizing the Sanhedrin as a court of today.
Oh, I think it's too big a gap to make such a jump today. From time to time, because of the clashes, because of many people that are in jail and they are following the authority of the Sanhedrin, the usual system, the non-secular system must from time to time to relate to the Sanhedrin, but there is a very long way till it will become an official court that the entire people relate to it. It's a long way. It's the same as with the Mikdash and Machon HaMikdash. Maybe the troubles that are coming upon Jews will, in haste, will make it much more rapid, that all this process will become more and more known to everybody. But meantime, it's a long way.
And you have made the first step, if I remember correctly, when we had our conversation for the television interview that I did with you. You said that you are not necessarily believing, and you happen to be a member of the Sanhedrin yourself, you are not necessarily believing that you would be an official member of the Sanhedrin, but at least you men formed this group, and if indeed more qualified men come along, you're ready to step aside, but you believe that it had to be begun, that the Sanhedrin must come back together at this time in history.
We just showed the way to the people how to do and what to do, and that they will not be like orphans. But you define it exactly. We are not the proud people and think that we are have the real deep knowledge of Torah and so on, and we will be very happy to replace ourselves with much more talent and people with knowledge, and people that have prestige, and entire like Rav Adin Steinsaltz. There will be 71 like Rav Steinsaltz and more. But meanwhile, we are holding the keys.
You're holding the keys. I like that phrase. Let me ask you about something that I referred to at the beginning of our interview that was covered by the Jerusalem Post, and that the Temple Institute, which, of course, the members of that organization, many of them members of the Sanhedrin as well, they this week, for the first time, started fitting some of the men preparing to make the garments, the priestly garments, for the men qualified to be priests, so that they would be dressed properly when they would have to serve in the temple. Is that a correct report? Did that happen?
Yes, it's a very precise and correct report. I think that they are preparing now 100 sets of the entire four garments for a usual priest and the 8 garments for the hired the Kohen Gadol, the Supreme Priest, and they are making it by industrial systems. And it makes a lot of feelings that now it's come the real thing.
That is exciting. Did I understand someone to say that this process has been researched, and over the last couple of years they've really been working on it, but now it looks like it's ready to begin?
Yeah, they have to overcome very great technological problems and electrical problems, and they found people all over the globe, from Australia and so on, to learn some systems of saving and to make it, as I said before, industrialized and so on. It took some years, yes.
When you say industrialized, is not it correct that these garments need to be woven? Or is that the case, or is there another process now?
They have. They must. It shouldn't be made by the hand. There are some obligations. Like the, I don't know how you said it, but when you are waving, you cannot make a tester, you cannot sew it. You cannot take a needle and to attach it together.
Uh-huh.
The wave machine, the newel, has to do it by itself. And there are many more problems of polchatnes between wool and linen and so on, and you have to ask the professional people of Machon HaMikdash. You will get more precise answer.
They had to, of course, find some particular dyes for some of the threads that would be used and for the garments themselves. Now, as I understand, they have a garment that they would wear, but they have a sash and a turban that would be included in the priestly garments.
Of course, you need. You need the four pieces, trousers, and kutonet, and this, and the shirt, and the avnet, and the bendel, and mikbat, and the hat. But this is the simple things. The Kohen Gadol need some more four garments. There are many problems with some of the garments, like the tzitz, which you have to put on the hand with the name of God, and the choshen, and the urim v'tumim, and the ephod, and so on. All these garments you have to deal with.
Yes. The men that have been fitted, these are members of the Kohanim, the family, the priestly family, and they would be men that actually could then serve in the temple itself. Is that correct?
It is correct, but there are some ways to solve problems of Kohanim. You asked me about 4 years ago who will be the chief priest. And I told you then that I don't know, but on the eve of Passover, 2 years ago, we made some preparation ceremony of sacrificing Korban Pesach, and we found a real Kohen Gadol with scrolls of his ancestors from Yemenite, from Tayman. But there are some more ways to solve such problems. I cannot now explain it, but I don't think that it is the great problem how to find the real priest that will work on the temple.
How close, as the Sanhedrin, who would have responsibility for administering the temple complex and, of course, helping in bring about the high priest, how close are you, do you believe, to being able to erect the third temple there in Jerusalem?
Every day. It's you know, there are some beliefs. The temple will come from heaven, but it depends on... we don't know the ways of God. And if we will have the experiment to do it in a week, it will be in a week. And if it will be more, it will be more. You know that to start the work of the temple, you just need partitions and an altar. You don't need all the constructions to start the work. And in the last year, there were many, many discussions about how to build an altar. When we tried to make this year the Korban Pesach, we started to check some ways to give a reaction. Let's say if the Mount of Temple will be open for 2 hours, what shall we do then? Nothing, or we should do something according to the halakha? And if it will be open for a week or totally, every situation makes its own solution.
So you're saying that on this last Passover, you were ready to sacrifice an animal, do the Passover sacrifice, and if indeed you could have gotten onto the Temple Mount for 2 hours, you may have erected an altar to go ahead and establish the temple there.
That's so. We hope that the next Pesach, and maybe before... You know that it will be a huge Hakel ceremony. In every tabernacle feast, every 7 years, the king has to read from the Bible in the front of the nation. And I made such a ceremony 21 years ago that the president of the state and the prime minister and the chief rabbis and so on participated in it, and it was 100,000 people.
Mm.
Now the government, this government, also have a deep interest to do it because it brings them prestige, and they went to the temple institution. I'm not happy about this because I want that the government will do repetition. That is that it will make tshuva on all the bad and evil things that they have done, not only this government, yes, but in the last at least 20 years to the world and to the Jewish nation. But this ceremony will took, you know, all those garments. I know that Rabbi Ariel wants to prepare them till this Hakel ceremony in the tabernacle feast. And we will see what will be till Sukkot. There will be a war, there will not be a war. There will be peace, there will be Obama, there will not be Obama. Who knows what will be?
Yes. Well, but you want to be prepared whenever the time comes.
Exactly.
And let me ask this final question. Is there anything that must be done before you could build the temple? I mean, you've got to have the place to put it up, but is there anything else that must be done before you can start to build the temple?
No, we must that the Muslims will not disturb, and the government will not disturb. We have not, I think so, not to start with the destructions there, because all the area is prepared to make this altar, and it will work also without destruction, at least at the beginning. So this is not the problem. You know, I told 2 years ago, the Arab stations, channels, they phoned me home and say, why you are not coming to make to sacrifice the Korban Pesach? We make a general repetition a day before. I told them, you can phone from Al Jazeera, you can phone the Waqf in Jerusalem that they will open the gates.
Hmm.
And we will come. There is no problem. Because the Jews will not open the gates for us. Maybe you will open the gate for us. So if the nations will open the gate, we will come and do our task.
You mean the people who are the custodians for the Temple Mount through Al Jazeera said you could come up and do that?
Exactly.
Ooh. Yeah,
exactly.
That's how close it is.
Yes. Yes. Okay, let's stick near Sukkot. We will see what is going on.
Yes. Make the contact and see if they will follow through with the promise. Professor Hillel Weiss, you have been a joy to talk to today. I'm so grateful that I know you're very tired having traveled back from Montreal, Canada, but thank you for giving us this update, this information, and we hope we have the honor and privilege to talk to you again in the future as developments continue to move closer to the time when the temple will be erected. Thank you so much,
sir. Thank you. Bye.